as we all are. Welcome to a championship game day Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you 9 floors up in the Kia Studios and lovely Midtown Atlanta. Rain falling down. That is Michael Parkhurst, captain of your Atlanta United, talking about why he's glad he has Darlington Nagby on his team as they get set to go for something we rarely get to see here in Atlanta, an Atlanta Major League sports franchise going for a championship. They try to get it done tonight, and I believe that they will. And of course, you can hear right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome to a championship Saturday morning. We're going to get into it today and want to hear from you, but we're going to talk a lot about what's going to happen today, later on today, what we've been building up to all week. There's been a lot of excitement in town for this matchup between Atlanta United and the Portland Timbers to decide the MLS Cup. Can this team in just its second year of existence, bring home a championship to Atlanta and set off a big celebration around this city tonight? We are so looking forward to that, and we're going to get into it today as we go along. So glad that you're with us. Remember, you can hear it all here, right here, the pregame at 6 o'clock and the kickoff at 8 o'clock for MLS Cup here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And if you're coming downtown today, we got some rain falling right now. We expect to have that throughout the day probably. Going to make things kind of messy. We still expect people to come out and get excited about this team playing for a championship. And, oh, by the way, next door, we'll also have an event that you'll get to hear on our other station on Star 94, our cousin station. The Atlanta Hawks are home at 7:30, taking on the Denver Nuggets. The pregame is at 7, tip-off's at 7:30. Okay, so you got an event going on at State Farm at 7:30. You got a championship match going on at Mercedes-Benz at 8. I don't need to tell you what to do if you're driving into town. You know how it is. So it's going to be bad. It's going to be kind of difficult. You want to leave home early, or obviously you want to ride MARTA. Those are the alternatives if you want to get into to be a part of the action, just be a part of the scene. A lot of people are going to be around town just to be close by. So when it all winds down and the championship is won, it can be a part of a big celebration. Even though it's raining, we just want to be a part of it. Something rare getting set to take place in our city tonight as Atlanta hosts a championship with a chance to claim a championship for this city. We do know. We've talked about it here on our station all this week. It's been since 1995 in the Atlanta Braves, the last time we won a championship in a major league sport. This is the new kid on the block. The new kid on the block getting set to bring this to the city. And it's an exciting time. I think it's going to be fantastic. I plan on being there tonight. I hope you're going to get a chance to, like I said, if you're not going to be there in person, we'll have your very best coverage. And we've had your very best coverage all season long. And, you know, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore have been on the call all season long. They'll be there tonight. And, of course, we expect Mike to be in rare form tonight for a championship with his team. And, of course, we will hear from him tomorrow morning. He will be joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for our show tomorrow morning, weekend mornings. Tomorrow morning, so you make sure and be with him. As far as today goes, at 7:20, Doug Robertson is going to join us. Of course, he's been on the beat with Atlanta United since the club's inception, has followed them throughout, and he checks in with us most weekend mornings. He'll be with us later on in the 7 o'clock hour. Coming up later on in this hour, some more news that took place this week, as Georgia Tech has a new head football coach. Ken Segura, who covers the Georgia Tech beat, will join us later on this hour to talk about Jeff Collins and why he is the best fit for this Georgia Tech football program at this time. A lot of people were wondering who it would be. We heard some big names of some players, of some ex-Georgia Tech players with attachments to the National Football League. A lot of people thought they should go for a big, flashy name. Jeff Collins has been at Temple for the past two seasons, but he has twice served as an assistant at Georgia Tech, a native of the area of Rockdale County, has also served as defensive coordinator at Florida and Mississippi State. Also even served the first year that Nick Saban was at Alabama, was a member of the staff there for a year. So he's been around a lot of successful programs with great coaches, and he brings that all here. And, yes, folks, in case you're wondering, he plans on doing some things with the offense to change and make it more likely for an NFL-based offense, to change what we've seen in recent years at Georgia Tech. And that allows Georgia Tech, of course, to recruit a different type player. He's hitting the ground. He's not going to coach the Temple Bowl game that's coming up. He's coming to get started with that. The early signing period, by the way, for the recruiting is December 19th. For those of you who forget, there's an early signing period for players who don't want to wait until February. And so he's coming along to get recruiting going and get busy in that direction to go for the players, the athletes, as you heard in the Sports Flash, players who have the size and the speed to play, but also you got to have the grades. That's the other part, to come to Georgia Tech and be a part of that program. We'll get into that. It was a big week for college football here in town. It's the College Football Awards. We're at the College Football Hall of Fame. All of the top college players in the nation and the top coaches, all under the same roof. And it was great to be there and see that, as always. It's a well-produced event that's broadcast on ESPN. But you get to see all the different players that are there. Your Heisman candidates are there. Some greats from the past were in the room. And, you know, also the great coaches are there as well. And the coaches are going to be coaching in the playoff. And, of course, that means that Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban were in the room. And I got to say, and we always talk about Nick Saban and how he is with the media, and how he can be short and curt at times. And, you know, because he's always in that competition mode. He's always in competition mode, it seems. The guy turned on the charm on this red carpet. I mean, he walked through the red carpet. He went from side to side. He shook every hand. He took every selfie. You know, he hugged every neck. And it didn't matter if you're an Alabama fan or not. You had people that had on Georgia gear, people that had on Clemson gear. And it didn't matter. He took pictures with him and greeted everybody just the same. I said, look at this guy work the room. And I guess, you know, that's part of him earning his check, the unwritten part of the job description. But people who, you know, see that intensity, you know, on the sideline, and the way he can be before a game and the way he can be immediately after the game. And we've seen so many weeks of the clips from his press conferences when he deals with the media over in Tuscaloosa every week and how he can be. And here he is being this charming guy, you know, all week. So it was different to see him, you know, in that way and work in the room that way. But, you know, that's what he gets to do. I guess there was no game going on, no game this week. So he's a different type character.
Did you thank him?
Did
you go up and thank him?
Good morning,
Greg. For the people here in Atlanta, did you thank him?
Good morning, Greg.
How morning.
All right, he's coming in talking about.
I know, but you know, I'm doing. You know, this is where we have the fun. This kind of show.
By the way, you know, Greg is on the other side of the glass today because Bo is away, and so I don't have.
Well, they don't need to know all that stuff. Well, they don't need to be putting Bo's business out there.
No, but he's away. I didn't say where he was. He's away.
You're keep going. I asked you about. Did you thank Saban?
I didn't get a chance to speak to him directly.
I thought he was hugging all the necks.
He was. He didn't hug my neck. But
you didn't want to hug from him?
No, he wanted to hug from him.
Pick his pocket. Might find a ring in there.
Maybe one or two, huh? But like it was cool that the College Football Awards are a very cool event, Greg, and it's great that we have that in our city. The College Football Hall of Fame is the ideal place for that. And the fact that everybody's under the roof and you get a chance to see the players who are going for all the prestigious awards, obviously the Heisman Trophy candidates were there as well. Tua had that boot on and had his feet elevated, you know, at the event. So that's the big question for him, is his availability once they get to the playoff. And he's very reluctant and slow to talk about that. But it was good to see them all in the city this week. We're going to find out the Heisman Trophy pick. We've had a chance to watch, for those of you who hadn't made your decision before last weekend, maybe last weekend would affect your decision of who you think will win. It's down basically a two-player race between Tua and Kyler Murray from Oklahoma. Both were in town this week, and they kind of divided some of the awards that were handed out on Thursday night, leaving it kind of out there as to who will win it tonight up in New York. I got my pick, and I'm going to share it with you before we leave the air at 8 o'clock and turn it over to the Sports Insider. But I'd like to know for you who your pick for Heisman is and who you like and why. 404-741-0929. Is it the full body of work? Is it statistics? Is it a team being a championship contender? What is it that makes the Heisman Trophy winner the Heisman Trophy winner in your opinion? Since we now know who the four teams are that are going on to play in the playoffs. So love to hear from you on that regard as well. A couple of football games going on today. Army-Navy. Of course, it's always huge when those two academies get together today, and they'll be doing that. Enacting that great rivalry that's going on. And also, Kennesaw State is home 2 o'clock this afternoon, home against South Dakota State in the FCS playoffs as they continue their quest to try to win a national championship.
Got a question for you.
Yes.
Biggest football game in the country happening today, in your mind?
Army-Navy?
Yep.
It always is in a very big way.
Does it, as a college football fan, does it always sort of, not necessarily irk you, but does it, every year, this same conversation comes up. why it isn't touted more. Why isn't it?
I think it is, isn't it
loftier in its presentation?
It has its own day.
I get that.
It doesn't have to compete with any other ball, any other major college football game.
So you're happy with the way it's presented?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people aren't. That's why I'm asking you.
No, I think it has its own day, and I think it's a great way to wrap up, you know, the regular season, and the theme of it, obviously. And obviously today they'll be obviously honoring President Bush. Passed away, and we reflected on his life this week. So obviously, he being a Navy man, they will remember him today. But I think it's just great to have those academies, what they represent, what those young people are preparing to do afterwards. There's not a lot of people looking for lives in the National Football League. These guys have a service they're ready to render to our country, and they go out and they play their very best.
Crazy thing is, when you think about people who went to the academy that went on to pro sports, I feel bad about this. There's only three names. To me, I can just like off the top of my head. And they're older names.
Yeah.
But McCallum, Napoleon McCallum.
Yeah.
David Robinson and Staubach.
And Staubach.
That's it.
There have been some others.
I know there have been, but I can't.
Yeah.
I can't bring them up.
Yeah. 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 We've got one here in town. Eddie Myers, the father of Alana Myers, who does Olympics in the bobsled, her father. Navy guy, Marine, and played with the Falcons. So, I mean, you do have some that do that, understanding what their service they have to render beforehand. But to me, that's what makes it so special when they play that game, and that's coming up later on today. But, of course, here in town, we've got the big event. And, you know, while it's raining outside, you know, people are going to get ready for the tailgates. People are going to be ready and all decked out in their gear. As Atlanta United prepares to do something that we've rarely had a chance to see and witness. And, of course, we're hosting it. And it's been great to see all of the executives and the luminaries from Major League Soccer in our city this week. Had a chance to go by the host hotel and stop by over there for a while this week. The things that the commissioner had to say about our team, and we'll get into this in the next segment, what they had to say about our city, what they had to say about our team and what they've done and raised the bar for the league, but also for the sport, not just in this country, but internationally. It's amazing to hear what has happened in just a couple of years, and tonight is the cherry on top of the sundae. If our team goes out there and gets things done, takes care of the Portland Timbers, and sends them packing back out west after winning the MLS Cup, that is this thing that we're looking forward to. And, of course, they got some plans for celebration. We're not going to get into a lot of details of that. The bottom line now is, you know, getting out there and getting things done and winning. And that's what we want to see. So that's coming up this hour. We want to hear from you, 447-410-929, especially about who your Heisman Trophy pick is. Also want to hear from you if you're headed down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, if you're ready to get behind the five stripes tonight and root them to victory. What does this mean to you? You know, a championship for our city is right in our grasp and is happening right outside our front door. Are you ready for that? Of course, Ken Segura will join us later on in the hour to talk about Jeff Collins, the new head football coach at Georgia Tech, and we'll get his pick for who he thinks will win the Heisman. We're just getting started on a rainy but a championship game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. It is a championship game day Saturday morning. Atlanta United, Portland Timbers, it all goes down tonight, 8 o'clock over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium to try to win a championship for the city of Atlanta in the MLS Cup. And we'll get into that more as we continue this morning. Hope you're excited and fired up about that game. Of course, that's happening. We got the Hawks going on. And, of course, college football fans are focusing on a certain award that will be handed out in New York City coming up later on today. Of course, it's the significant handing out of the Heisman Trophy. Goes to the top college player in the country. Both of those players were in town this week. Tua Tagovailoa was in town. And also Kyler Murray from Oklahoma, both in the city this week to pick up some hardware at the College Football Awards. But we want to know this morning, who do you see as the Heisman Trophy candidate? Who gets it, Tua or Kyler? We got a couple of folks who want to join us. You can too, 447-410-929. Let's get started with Chris. Chris has some thoughts on the Heisman Trophy. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning. How you doing?
You know, just living the dream, brother.
I'm telling you. What do you think about this Heisman Award tonight?
Honestly, my thing is they don't really play anybody. I mean, you can put up eight touchdowns against teams that like play like Shiloh High School and Lithonia High School. And plus, he doesn't have two good knees. He never plays a full season almost.
Okay, but I mean, do you award him on what he's done or games that he missed? What do you put up the criteria?
I'm 100% giving it to Kyler.
Okay. And why? Why does he get it? Because a lot of people around here think it ought to go to the guy from the SEC.
I mean, I'm an SEC guy myself, but again, it's about competition. I mean, think about this. They play. Look what they did against Georgia. You play to get a good defense, you get tore up.
That was a fact. So thanks a lot. That's a vote. That's a vote for Kyler Murray. Frank's holding on the line. Frank, good morning. Welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Who gets that Heisman tonight?
I think it should be Tua. I mean, here's the deal. I guess with your definition of the Heisman, if you're looking for like the best player, it's clearly Tua. I mean, he's more talented. I think he's a better overall quarterback. However, the guy from Oklahoma, I think he's the most valuable as far as like valuable to his team, because I truly believe Alabama could still be in the playoff without Tua. But there's no way Oklahoma's going without Kyler. There's no way they're beating Texas in that championship game, and they probably would have lost Oklahoma State. So I think he carried that team more than Tua did.
Potentially, the two will be on the field, you know, in the playoff, Oklahoma against Alabama. Who do you think gets the better of that? We got to get Tua healthy, but who gets the better of that?
I think Tua does. Oklahoma, I mean, they have a nice offense, but there's no way they don't have the defense that Georgia has. I think Tua is going to pick them apart. And I think Oklahoma hasn't seen a defense like Alabama. So I think just like Tua was kind of exposed, I think Oklahoma's quarterback may be exposed as well. So I think Tua's going to get the better of that matchup, provided that he's healthy.
All right. Well, that's right. Thanks so much for weighing in. He says that Tua would win the matchup between the two, but tonight he thinks that Murray will win the Heisman Trophy. And here's the thing. You know, in Kyler Murray, we have a chance to see something we've only seen once before. A player win the Heisman Trophy, then go and play professionally in another sport. Obviously, Florida State's Charlie Ward did that, won the Heisman Trophy, and then had a long career in the National Basketball Association as point guard for New York Knicks. Obviously, Murray already has a contract to play baseball, and he's expected to do that. He has said repeatedly that after he finishes playing his final college football game, he is going to go to baseball, although when talking about it some this week, he did mention the fact that he will at least listen. He and his family will at least listen to some of the overtures from the National Football League. So that's something kind of curious that's kind of cropped up this week, as he has been repeatedly asked the question if he wants to do. We've had some quarterbacks in the past who were great baseball players. Russell Wilson, solid baseball player. Jameis Winston was a fabulous pitcher for the Florida State baseball team, as well as quarterback in their football team. And he has, you know, won the Heisman and is now, you know, and you wonder, because he's had his struggles at times, a quarterback in the Tampa Bay, if he had gone and been a pitcher and pursued a Major League Baseball career. That's what's laying out there for Kyler Murray. So we want to get your thoughts on who you think gets the Heisman tonight. It all goes down. What do you think? Should it be the guy who's the best player, or should it be the guy who's the most valuable player to his team? A lot of people think that should be the thing that separates who wins the Heisman Trophy, not just who's the great player, but who should be the guy that maybe the team could not win without. And I'm going to get to my question about who I think is going to win before we close out our show today. But obviously, we're talking about what's going on here tonight, the opportunity that we have with the MLS Cup to have a championship for the city of Atlanta. And a lot of people talk about Atlanta and the fact that we haven't won a lot of championships. And no, we go back to 95 and the one that the Braves win as far as a major league championship. But when you talk about Atlanta, you talk about a city that has been winning for years because of sport, and because particularly major league sport. It was the powers that be in the early to mid 60s that decided they wanted to distance themselves from other cities around the Southeast. And one way to do it was to have major league sport. And in came the Braves and then the Falcons to make Atlanta a national city, not just a southern city. Then later on comes, of course, what happened in 1996 when the Olympics comes to town. And that sporting event helped lift Atlanta to the level of being an international city. That along, of course, with our airport, where you're, you know, got a million flights a day to wherever you want to go. And that's the thing that's allowed it through sport. Atlanta has been a winner many times over, although people always like to point to us at the fact that we don't have a whole lot of laundry hanging and not a lot of championship rings. We have a chance to change a little bit of that tonight by winning this championship for the MLS Cup in just a second season of existence. Well, the commissioner of the conference, Don Garber, was talking about yesterday how this team has set so many records. The average attendance of 53,000 per game for Atlanta United allows this team to have the largest average attendance of any Major League franchise, none NFL Major League franchise. Think about that in just its second year, the 53,000 that this team averages in attendance is just incredible. They're expected to set a new attendance record tonight with over 73,000 in attendance tonight. It will be electric. It will be a great air of anticipation for something incredible to happen. Now, don't discount this Portland squad, because they've come here and they've been bold and brave enough. They've been pretty bold. They're coming all the way across country. And Greg, they brought along with them.
they didn't come in covered wagons, you know. Took a flight.
You know what, though? On the back of a flatbed truck, they drove a log.
Well, I don't think it was the actual team that did that.
Well, it's the team's logo on the truck.
I believe it.
And they shipped something 2,500 miles cross country called a victory log.
Yeah. And what that's a punchline to so many jokes.
It's going to be a punchline to a lot of jokes. Look, this log, and of course they have this character called Timber Joey. And what Timber Joey does is when they score a goal, he brings out a chainsaw and he slices off a section of this log. It's a real tree.
Like Jackal.
Yeah. Huh?
Jesse James Dupree. There's a lot of people out there that are just freaking out that I brought that up right now. They understand the reference. There used to be a band called Jackal, okay, and their song was Lumberjack, and okay, the lead singer would take a chainsaw to
the guitar?
He'd just bring it out on stage and start it up.
That's what this guy does.
Yeah.
He was a chainsaw, and he slices off, you know, and so they're going to have that there tonight. They drove that thing. And I saw it. I got a picture. I'm going to put it on my social media.
Where are they going to bring it at? They're not bringing it in Mercedes-Benz.
They're going to bring it in Mercedes-Benz.
Who gave them that permit?
They're going to do it. That's what they do.
A visitor's location and do that?
Well, it happens to be a location, but they're coming for the championship.
I put them in the parking lot.
They brought.
Who's going to claim up all that mess, all that
That's
timber?
The whole thing, though, but they don't score. They don't cut anything.
Okay, well.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that chainsaw tonight. You know, it's kind of bold. They bring a chainsaw to Atlanta. To the home of Home Depot. You didn't realize who owns this team? We got your chainsaw. We got a whole store.
Hey, we got your chainsaw right over here, pal.
We got your chainsaw, man. We got a whole store full of them, all right? So you had to bring a chainsaw away from the West Coast. We got it for you, you know? So that's the whole thing. They've been driving that thing around town on the back of this flatbed truck. The victory log. And, you know, I mean, it's supposed to get a little cold. Maybe have a little snow in the northern elevations of the state. We need some firewood. So we'll find something to do with that log. Obviously, since you brought it to town, we'll put it to good use. Don't worry about that. But we don't want to hear that chainsaw tonight. That is one thing for sure. So that's something that they have and something to watch out for. You're laughing about this.
Because, again, you're like the last person that I would say, hey, we got your chainsaw over here, pal. You just got here from the Bronx. That's something that they would say. So coming out of you was pretty funny.
Oh.
That made my morning.
But that's true. You bringing the chainsaw to the hometown of Home Depot, man.
I believe you. Like I said, it was just funny. You know, I didn't expect that out of you.
Yeah. No,
Has there been equal amounts of fan tickets available to the Portland fan base? So, in other words, is it going to be all? Okay, that's what I thought. So
you don't want them in here.
I know that, but, you know, when the Super Bowl happens,
they give
equal amounts, or not equal amounts, but they make them available.
They probably got a portion. They probably got a few. We're going to tuck them in a corner around there somewhere. We'll slide them up. They better be quiet. We don't hear them.
Go ahead and make them mad. People walking around with chainsaws.
Chainsaw. We got plenty of chainsaws. We got stores full of chainsaws all over town. But, they've made some tickets available for some of them to come and watch. But, you know, they'll be kind of hard to find, hopefully, and not a whole lot as our team prepares to play for the championship. And, of course, once again, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game is glad to have been your home all season long for the very latest on Atlanta United. And, of course, tonight the pregame is at 6 o'clock. The kick is at 8 o'clock. You can hear it all right here as Atlanta goes to claim a major league sports franchise. A rare moment for our club, a rare moment for our city. But hey, want to do it. Obviously, this team has been on a mission. I personally was concerned a little bit toward the end of the regular season. It seems like they were going to tail out, and I was like, oh no, not again. You know, some of the last few regular season games didn't seem like it. But boy, once the postseason started, it kicked in all over again. And congratulations to Joseph Martinez, the MVP of the league this week.
Let's make it official, man. He's got the crown right here in town.
He has the crown?
Does he have the crown here in town?
You going to give him the crown?
I've been giving it to him. And I think everybody else has too. And we're talking about he's the number one sports figure in this city. Period. Done. Not even a conversation.
That's what I said. If he's if he puts a trophy on a fire truck, he's got me.
Yeah. Well, he ain't even got to do that for most people.
You know,
I don't even think it's close.
31 goals this season. 31 goals, a new league record that he set. And this week, he is named the MVP of MLS on the week that this team plays for the championship, plays for the MLS Cup. Just another thing to think about this week as you head to Mercedes-Benz Stadium to watch this team play tonight. Just the excitement to know we got the top player in the league on our side. And if he goes out and does like he did so many times this year in the first 10 minutes, gets a goal for this team, that sets things up. It truly does. If he goes out and does what he normally will do and what we've seen him do so many times this season in the first half, go out in the first 5 to 10 minutes of the match, go out and do something to give Atlanta United that lead and just spark the team and allow this team to play the style of soccer that it likes to play, that aggressive attacking style. That's what you want to see. They go out and get that first goal tonight and really kind of really take this Portland club out of it. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see today. And obviously a celebration coming up tomorrow and Monday for this team that's already kind of on the drawing board. We'll see what happens with that. But first things first, let's go and get it done. And I think we do that tonight. The chainsaw.
Taking folks back to the days of 96, right? Here, a little Jackal. I'm from Compact Disc.
We ain't having no chainsaw tonight. We got a purpose for that wood, though. We're going to need some firewood come Monday. Next up, we're going to talk about new head football coach at Georgia Tech. That's right, as Ken Segura joins us as we continue on a championship game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in Kia Studios. It's a beautiful morning, even though it doesn't look too good outside. It's a beautiful morning because it's a championship game day Saturday morning. Is our Atlanta United going to win that championship tonight? And like I said, we're going to send those guys back home. They bring a chainsaw to town, the home of the Home Depot. What are they thinking? What in the world are they thinking?
that is easily the funniest thing you said in 2018. I keep thinking about it. It's just the way it came out of you. Sam, if you weren't listening earlier in the last segment, Sam was talking about how this Portland team transported their
victory log.
Thank you. I'm glad you put victory there first. From Portland, cross country on the back of a flatbread,
yeah.
A flatbed to Atlanta.
Yes.
And you wondered why anybody would, and then of course they bring their chainsaws with them.
Yes.
And why anybody would bring a chainsaw to the home of, to the city that's they don't, got the home of Home Depot.
They don't know who owns this team, right? they obviously didn't get the memo. No need to bring your chainsaw to town. We got the man got plenty of chainsaw. That's it. Of course, we'll talk about that more coming up next hour. But one thing we'll talk about too, Georgia Tech settled on a new leader for the football program. It is Jeff Collins, and the guy who's at the story for us joins us now on the waitforit.com hotline. It's Ken Segura, AJC and AJC.com. Ken, good morning to you.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Doing great. All right, talk about this week and getting to this hire. Your thoughts about after meeting Coach Collins, and what makes you feel like he's a good choice for Tech right now?
He spoke with us last night after getting in from Philadelphia. I think make you feel like this could work out. He's had a good track record. He's done well at a lot of different places. You know, he's worked for Nick Saban. He worked for George O'Leary here at Tech. He's been at Tech here twice, actually. And so that tells you also that he probably has a pretty good feel for this place, which I think is often something that can hamstring a coach, whether, you know, no matter the sport, if you don't know Georgia Tech, I guess like any place, and especially Tech, that, you know, it's just kind of a different place in terms of the curriculum and the the rigor of the school and you know, being in Atlanta and all those things. And also, you know, I think he's an energetic guy. He's a little younger. He's 47. You know, I think he's had a really good track record for recruiting, which obviously I think is something that could really help Tech and that they need. I think as well as Paul Johnson did, I think sometimes it's good to try something different. You know, who knows how things would have gone if he'd stayed. And I think he's someone that actually wants to be a Tech. He spoke about it as a dream job, which isn't something you often hear coaches say about, you know, about Georgia Tech. So there's a kind of excitement and maybe a hope for a different direction. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it was a good start last night.
Spending time on the waitfor.com online this morning with Ken Segura. You can follow him on Twitter at KSeguraAJC, all lowercase, KSeguraAJC. All right, Ken, you know, the thing of it is, he's coming to a situation where it's not broken. You know, he doesn't have to fix anything that's been struggling and losing a 7-5 record, and there's talent there, but he's going to want to do some different things. I understand that he's going to do some different things offensively. Talk about that and what it allows Georgia Tech to do now as far as recruiting, because we got an early signing period coming up here in just a few days.
Sure, yeah. So, yeah, as you guys played the cut, he was saying, you know, we're going to play an NFL-based offense, NFL-based defense. And his idea with that is, or thinking is that, you know, A, it helps with recruiting. You know, kids want to play in the NFL and they want to play in something that, you know, that will help them get to the NFL. And then once they get here or get to Tech, you know, if they're playing in a scheme that, you know, is familiar with the NFL or common NFL, then that's going to, you know, give them more experience in doing so. When they get to the NFL, they kind of have a feel of what they're doing. And obviously, if you follow Tech at all, you know, that's kind of almost 180 degrees opposite from what, you know, Paul Johnson did. It was for better or worse. It was, you know, a completely college, you know, scheme in that, you know, teams in the NFL don't run, you know, a spread-based option. It looks something like the NFL, but what Paul Johnson always said was that, hey, listen, guys get drafted, you know, from all over the country, from all over the kind of schools. If you can play, you can play. We'll find out if this helps with recruiting or not. I think that's where he's thinking with getting recruiting a little stronger. I think it's something he's always done, and as far as, yeah, the signing day, you know, it's the 19th, which is about a week and a half from now. And, you know, I think probably something Todd didn't very wanted to do with the AD is get someone in here fairly, you know, sooner than later, because he wants, there's a, you know, a class of 16 kids that are committed to Tech. And then they've got to kind of feel each other out and decide, is this where I still want to be? And if not, you know, give them time to go somewhere else, you know, with all their commitment, or from the side, you know, hey, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was recruited to play the option, but yeah, I want to stay and try, you know, see how it works out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Kim, we got another minute to go, but I want to hear from you about college football awards. I saw you this week. We were together over at the College Football Hall of Fame when the top players in the country were here. It's always a great time. Thoughts about what you saw there, and who is your pick tonight to get the Heisman?
Boy, I'd never been to that award thing, so it was really cool just to see, you know, literally the best players in the country come to Atlanta and you know, obviously be very excited about what they accomplished. Tons of, you know, named people in college were there, and so that was a really neat event and one of those things that makes it kind of cool to be here. As far as the Heisman, I mean, I haven't watched a ton of either guy, but I would hope Tua gets it, I guess. I mean, part of me feels like it kind of stinks that you're limited to the quarterback, the receiver, and, you know, really that's it, of maybe the of 5 or 10 schools, or maybe even 5. You know, you'd wish a defensive player or guard or, you know, someone like Christian Wilkins would get it or have more of a chance. But I would think Tua would get it. He's been the best player on the best team and done really, really well. So I would think, and, you know, in the way that this award is done, that he gets it. But you know, obviously, he had a tough game against Georgia, and that may change things, but hopefully that's how it works out.
All right. Well, Ken, congrats on this vote there for Tua. We'll see what happens tonight. And we can't wait to see what happens when Coach Collins rolls his first team out onto the field. Thanks so much for getting up and spending some time with us this morning.
You bet, Sam.
All right. That is Ken Segura from AJC at AJC.com. Follow him on Twitter at KSegura, AJC, all lowercase, for the latest on Coach Collins and Georgia Tech football. All right. Next hour, we're going to hear from Doug Robertson. Also talking about Atlanta United getting all set for the MLS championship game. But straight ahead, now a chance to get some cash in your pocket. We call it the casting call on a championship game day Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.